Welcome to the 13th United We Stand podcast of the season. My name's Andy Mitten. It's a bright Saturday morning in Manchester. I'm walking across the Trafford Road Bridge towards Old Trafford ahead of the Arsenal game. There's fans everywhere. A load of fans have just poured in off one of the two Metrolink lines which serve Old Trafford, one of them being in Salford. You hear a variety of accents, just had a load of London accents from Arsenal fans who've travelled up. Another huge game following the two games at Chelsea. I've no idea where this podcast is going, but we've got a lot of travelling to do over the next 3 or 4 days. On Sunday I'll go to Barcelona, and then on Tuesday, Wednesday to Braga, where Manchester United play Braga in the Champions League. So I hope that this podcast will encompass all of that, and let's see some of the characters who we meet along the way. I'm on the road bridge now. It's quite an iconic bridge, and it's strongly related to Old Trafford, and there's pictures from the 20s and 30s of fans streaming across the bridge over the Manchester Ship Canal. The area around it has changed completely, even in the last 10 years. It used to be a powerhouse of industry, bombed by the Luftwaffe in 1941. Now, the area around the quays is one of the main homes of the BBC. There's apartments everywhere. There's a boat going down the canal now, taking United fans to Old Trafford. I'm just walking past the Liverpool Warehouse Company, which is now it's known as the Victoria Warehouse, and it's stood derelict for many, many years with a beautiful mural on the side. But it now hosts the Warehouse Project parties on a Friday and Saturday night for like 12 or 16 weeks of the year. And renowned has been some of the best nights for house music in Britain. The Happy Mondays are playing there in December. Just walking past some of the swag stalls now. Loads of different t-shirts. I am not a man, I'm Cantona. Who needs Batman when you've got Robin? 66 was a great year for English football. Eric the King was born. Vidic, Rooney. There's loads of anti-City, a few anti-Liverpool t-shirts. Just walking past a grill now, selling a monster double cheeseburger, half a pound cheeseburger, and a roast pork stuffing baguette for £4. There's a few people around looking for tickets. So of course a morning kickoff, well, 12:45 kickoff. Well, that doesn't really affect the demand for tickets. A lot of people want to watch Manchester United against Arsenal. So although United have been struggling to sell out Old Trafford for some of the lesser games, and only just selling out on the day of the game, when it comes to games against City and Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, the club reckon they could sell Old Trafford out two or three times over. Reckon that if the stadium hold 250,000 people, they could still sell the ground out. There's an hour and a half to kick off now, and can see the stadium just coming into view, the back of the North Stand, or the Sir Alex Ferguson Stand, as it's been since 2011. Over on the right, I can see Samuel Platt's. Fully United fans singing. There's a pub by the canal side, and a lot of hardcore United fans gather there, not just when United play at home, but when there's a big cup final as well. In Moscow, for example, not everybody could go to Moscow, so a lot of people went to Samuel Platt's. And it's a quiet pub. I think it survives off its trade picked up during United matches. A lot of the people involved in Must go there and have a drink. Just walking past another bar called Red Square, which has recently opened. It's in a warehouse close to Old Trafford. Another Liverpool Warehouse Company Limited. It's ironic you see the word Liverpool so close to Old Trafford so many times. And now just coming past some of the official car parks, and there's fans walking in all directions. Some going for a drink, some heading towards the ground early. The East Stand comes into view with Manchester United famously picked out in red. There's a current advertising campaign for the club, the Made in Manchester merchandise range, which has got players like Rio Ferdinand, Tom Cleverley and Manchester lad Danny Welbeck, all pictured at various points around Manchester, cafes in off Oldham Street, that type of stuff. I'm just going to walk over and get towards the ground. now walking up St Matt Busby Way, surrounded by all the fanzine sellers, Red Issue, Red News, United We Stand. Anthony, you sell United We Stand, you've sold it for years, how's it going today?
Well, it's the third day, so we won't do as well as we will on an opening day, but we have regulars and things like that, so we'll hopefully sell out today.
And being dry makes a difference?
Oh yeah, it's freezing, but when it's wet we don't sell half as many.
Yeah,
it makes a big difference.
And you say you have your regular customers coming all the time, you must get some strange requests from people who aren't familiar with what fanzines are. Do you still get asked if it's a programme?
Yeah, all the time, yeah, where the ground is, despite it being within a few now. I have a guy that comes and tells me about how Ecuador are doing, because he's from Ecuador, how they're doing, and all the World Cup qualifying and everything, despite me never asking him about it.
How are they doing?
Well, they did qualify, they managed to qualify, but...
So you get updates on Ecuador?
I've had
United home match.
The Cuba one, a chap who watches Canada, tells me about how... The Cuba team came to Canada and half the team, all the substitutes, escaped over the border into America.
Do you enjoy selling the fanzine?
Yeah, quite a lot, yeah.
So, just meeting United fans?
Yeah, all the time. These people I don't even know the names of, and I speak to them and I just know them from football, yeah.
And you get much feedback to the fanzine?
Yeah, someone came up to me last week saying the Sun in Tokyo subscribes. He doesn't not even got an interest in football, just reads it because of the Manchester murders, Mike Duff's column, just things like that.
United East End, we don't just have bits, it's not all about football.
No.
And it's funny when I sell
£2.
Yes, you're right, mate. You'd have someone coming up to you saying that article on page 17 last month was a disgrace, and 2 minutes later someone would come up and go, that's the best thing I've read.
Yeah,
it just shows how different people see different parts of the fanzine.
Well, Mike Duff divides opinion.
Yeah, Mike for people who don't know is a Mancunian. He's a very, very proud Mancunian. He's actually a Bolton fan, but I'd say he puts himself as being a Mancunian first, and he's a poet, and he's not to everyone's liking, but he's got a lot of followers, a lot of people really like his stuff, and he writes about the social history of Manchester, and he's done a series on graveyards in Manchester, and now he's doing one on Manchester murders. And as editor, I think it's good to give everyone a chance, and for it not just to be about football. I think the United We Stand would be quite boring if it was just full of articles on whether Van Persie...
I actually passed him on the way here.
Who?
Stood outside and coached dispensary.
Yeah,
trying to stop it being knocked down. So.
I've just seen someone come up and ask our United We Stand seller if that's the programme. And another one is. Another one's just trying to buy a fanzine with a voucher. So we stood outside the swag stalls, which is selling scarves. I can see here now Shinji Kagawa, United in Japan, Rooney, Manchester United obviously, and then matchday scarves, which is a bizarre one with United and Arsenal on the same scarves. Loads and loads of diehard fans, but a lot of tourists as well at a game like today, making up part of the 76,000 capacity. So I'm going to move a little bit closer to the ground. Good luck with selling today, lads.
Cheers. See you in a bit, mate.
Latest United We Stand £2.
Closer still to Old Trafford with Barney Chilton, who's the editor of Red News, the longest Manchester United fanzine. Established when, Barney?
1987. Feeling every ounce of the 25 years that it's been going.
Still enjoy it?
Yeah, I love it. And it keeps me out of the pub, which is always a good thing. It's the change here is phenomenal, though. You just think the change in faces, the change in people, and that's the saddest aspect for me, that the amount of long-term Reds have been priced out and don't go, that, you know, that always used to buy, that you always used to see. And I suppose it's just a natural thing that Old Trafford's getting older, and you just think we sound all miserable, and we sometimes moan a little bit too much, which is a shame. But it's still exciting. I still get the buzz as soon as I see the lights, and I think I don't enjoy selling as much. It just takes it out of you. But as soon as I'm at the seat, I think, this is what else would you do? What else could you do? This is what we do, Andy. This is what, you know, we've done it so long. We're dinosaurs, but in a good way. And you still love it when people come up to you, say hello, you know, and you hear the stories and the nutters and the loons and the good lads and the bad and the indifferent, the different. You know, I would say United's the most broadest church of people that you've ever heard about, and some of the stories you couldn't say on this podcast that I've already heard today. And that's what it's all about. It's just a fantastic blend of people where you wouldn't get in any other circle of life, and you get it here, and you think, I just wish United respected it a bit more, respected us, respected the people who travel in here. I'm actually selling one.
How much are they?
£2.50, please. It's almost as if Andy's paid him.
That's your new one out today, is it?
Yeah.
Got a queue of people here now.
Cheers. No, do you want the songs or the fans?
Oh, songs.
There you go. Thank you.
Sure.
Cheers, mate.
You've got to sing the songs after the game, mate. You've got to come back here and you've got to learn them all during the match.
Cheers. £2.50, please. Thank you.
So Barney produces a man called Great United Songs, full of lyrics to all the classic United songs. And he's just selling a couple of copies now. How much is it, Barney?
£2.50.
£2.50.
If I actually take...
And it's all the Terrace songs from over the years.
Thank you very much. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
And he's now got a queue of people selling.
Sometimes with Great United Songs, people say, oh, I know all the songs, but that's the one thing that, when I'm dead and 6 foot under, that I'm proud of the research. We've got all the old songsters, Howard, Mick O'Farrell, and I mithered them when I was a kid for years and years. Please, tell me when you first sang this. Tell me the origins. And then you get people saying, well, we were singing this in a Salford Boozer in the 50s. And then, so I'm very proud of the work that's gone into that. But as I said, I just wish United would give some of the old timers a bit more respect than they do. £2.50 for Red News, please. Thank you.
Andy
started a rush.
Well, and you're from Great United stock. Your mother went to United.
Yeah,
Your mother Teresa.
Which
a lot of people
like?
Know.
Where were the chairs? Did you say?
Songs is that? Yeah, that's £2.50, please. Yes. I've always gone since I was a kid. My mum, her mum was a Blue. Thank you, from Goulburn, so that's where it all started, a bit of antagonism between the two. So mum, as a nipper, said she'd support United, to wind her up, started going, and then it's just all we've ever done. Unfortunately, mum's not so well, but she in the 80s was like a trailblazer for female United supporters, because she did all the Euros. She was in Barca, Juventus in the 80s, and she wasn't like a run-of-the-mill, you know, normal staying out of it. She'd be there in the boozer, and she had the respect that she's got off all the old timers is phenomenal, really, and you just keep it going. And if I ever have a kid, that's it, you know, they wouldn't have a choice. That's it, and you take them, you see, and that's another proud thing when you see the people who were buying it when years ago, and then you see their kids coming through, and it's mad, really.
So, from originally grandma from Goulburn near Wigan,
yeah, and then mum was evacuated and then moved down south
during the war,
yeah.
So, I've known you 20 years. We've got something in common because my granddad on my mum's side was from Goulburn in Wigan.
Well, there you go. And so we've never discussed that before. How mad is that?
I know. And he moved to Old Trafford in there.
See, mum was a Whelan, and she always maintained since old Wigan Whelan did really well that there's got to be some connection and we'll inherit a fortune eventually.
Yeah.
And this will be our gold mine that's set up.
Now on the forecourt, it's absolutely buzzing, sun shining off the statue of Sir Matt Busby. Beautiful winter's day in Manchester. You know, I can hardly walk 10 metres without meeting somebody interesting, and this is a culture which Sky TV, they've got no understanding, and even the club, they don't know that this exists. And by that I mean people who've gone to the game for years and years, they all know each other, huge community. And I'm walking past a group now of Japanese tourists with jester hats on, and groups of tourists who've come in from around the world. And that's all well and good, but aside from that, Manchester United have got a huge support of loyal, long-time match-going supporters. I'm walking past the United Trinity statue now of Bestlaw and Charlton. And the forecourt used to be a road running through it. Now it's become a tourist attraction in its own right. You've got the swag sellers weaving in and among the fans, selling scarves. You've got charity collectors everywhere. And then over to the right, you've got the turnstile for the away fans. There's Arsenal have been given 3,000 tickets for today, and we'll probably sell them. Most clubs now don't sell the away end out. Why? Number of reasons. Main one being cost. It's £52 or £54 to sit in the Arsenal end today. If you're a fan of most clubs, when you come to Old Trafford, you're going to see your team beat them. So that's really affected away followings in the last few years. I'm just walking past the coach park where there's 5 police on police horses and a lot more police. There's a film camera. And this is the it's going to be trouble, which there won't be today. This will be the flashpoint where the Arsenal fans come out of the the coach park and walk across the forecourt into the away end. There's TV cameras here and they're speaking to fans. You know what? I look at them and I think they're speaking to the wrong type of fans every single time. They're going up to people with their faces painted. They're going up to people who look like they've never been to a game before and they're asking them for opinions on Manchester United, and that embarrasses me. Because there's so many good people around who are far better qualified to give decent answers, but they don't feel the need to go to a game with a jester's hat on. And because of that, TV cameras aren't particularly interested in them. Just walking past a queue now for the United Review, the official match day programme, edited by Good Reds now. And it's been £3 for about a decade now. It's one of the better programmes content-wise. A lot of adverts in it. But there's some good people involved there who are long-term United supporters, and they made sure it's one of the best, if not the best, club programme. I'm just walking now over the railway bridge, past the... There's a plaque in honour of Mr. Gibson, the man behind the Gibson Guarantee, the man who saved Manchester United from going under in the 30s. It says James W. Gibson, local businessman and chairman of Manchester United Football Club, 1931 to 1951. He rebuilt the club in the 1930s. And you think of Manchester United now, you see all these people everywhere. And it amazes you that there's been several times in the club's history where they've been on the verge of bankruptcy. Now it's this worldwide renowned club with fans coming everywhere. I've just walked over a very slight crest over the bridge, and I'm looking now down Sir Matt Busby Way. It's just a sea of people. It's a brilliant sight. It's one of the life-affirming sights I've got to watch a Manchester United game. It's just a sea of people walking towards Old Trafford, walking to see United, and ahead of a big game. Here's another United We Stand seller. Hello, Sam. You're on the United We Stand podcast. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going great.
So Sam is my little brother and he's gone all shy. And you're a professional footballer yourself, Sam?
Yeah, I am. I am. Play for Stockport. Just finished my loan at New Mills. And I'm going to go on loan to Curzon Ashton next week.
Right, that's news to me. So how old are you?
18.
And what position do you play?
Striker. Centre attack if mid.
You were at United as a kid, weren't you?
Yeah, for about 6 weeks, 7 weeks.
When you were 14?
Yeah, when I was 14, yeah.
And why did you sell United We Stand?
To help my brother out, to earn a little bit of extra money.
And what did you do with the money? There's a big, big pause here, yeah.
Put it away towards my holiday.
And so you're training every day as a footballer?
Yeah, every day.
You've always supported United?
Always, yeah. Since I was a young kid.
What have been your highlights as a United fan? If you look back, you know, you're just 18 now. Best games you've ever seen?
When we won against Chelsea at Champions League Cup final.
Yeah.
That was the best that I can remember anyway.
Yeah. Do you know your first ever United game? You won't even remember it because you were 1 year old. Yeah. I took you with Dad.
Yeah.
1996 against Blackburn at home.
Yeah.
Solskjaer's first ever game. Solskjaer's first goals. And you started crying in the second half. What do you have to say about that?
I was crying, obviously for a good reason. Wanted to go home, probably.
Yeah. So, nice day today. That makes a big difference to sales.
Yeah, it does. Rain. It does. Very cold though. It's chilly. I've got my gloves, but can't really use my gloves to get me change out of my pocket. So,
what are you hoping for this season in your own football?
I hope I do well, start scoring, start playing a lot more, and hopefully get a contract next season.
It seems frustrating when you're a lad of your age as a footballer. Chances are so few and far between.
Yeah, it's hard to get into the starting team, get into the team, even playing in reserves at my age. Try to beat older players that are more experienced. It's hard.
But you're enjoying being a footballer.
Yeah. It's great. Great.
You've got a sailor. No, you've not. I was being overly optimistic there. How do you think United will go on today against Arsenal?
I think we'll beat them 3-1. Even though they did well to come back against Reading the other night, but yeah, I think we've got the upper hand on them.
You're a striker. You get paid to play football every single day. What do you make of United strike force this season?
I think it's very good. I think they've got Van Persie and Rina. I rate them highly. I do rate Nani I think he's good. I just think he's had a bit of an off spell. But Valencia and Kagawa, they're different class.
Yeah. So you're sticking up for Nani there. He's been a bit of a scapegoat among United fans. What do you like about Nani?
I think his left foot's probably the best on our team. Like, both-footed player anyway. He's very skillful, got a powerful shot, and does make things happen.
Walking past the away turnstiles now, visitors section, East Stand E30, and also past the Manchester United railway station. Police are watching on, just making sure that there's no trouble. And United is one of the few grounds in the country which has its own railway station, and it only functions on a match day with trains from Oxford Road in Manchester City Centre. But it's an important part of getting people into the stadium. The stewards in front of me now are asking for Arsenal fans to get their tickets out. And you see a few Arsenal fans wearing no colours, and suddenly they get to where the stewards are, and a scarf pops out because they feel safe and secure. Watching over them in what was Sir Matt Busby's old office, now United fans in Executive Lounge. There's a big line of police horses walking past now. Beautiful horses. And it's just a bustling pre-match scene. You know, when you go to the match, it's not only about the game, it's about everything that goes with it. It's the sights and the sounds and the smells, and there are certain smells that you relate to going to games, from what comes out of the horse's backside to the spilt bovril to the pies. And 76,000 people are converging on this stadium now, most of them within the last 45 minutes. It's a big operation to get everyone inside the ground. I'm now walking past somebody collecting money for Francis House Children's Hospice, really well respected charity in Manchester, does wonders for kids who are very, very poorly. And the United players are often down at Francis House as well, helping out. And I'm in the South Stand tunnel now, so there might be a slight echo. You can hear the click of the turnstile. That's another noise that you associate with going to the match. And this has been named the Munich tunnel now. There's memorials to those who perished in the Munich air disaster, which were unveiled in 2008. I'm just looking at a plaque now. This plaque was unveiled on the 6th of February 2008 to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Munich air disaster, by David Gill, the chief executive, and Roger Byrne Jr., the son of the club captain. And underneath that is an eternal flame. It's beautiful. And fans come and pay their respects to it. There's various executive entrances as well, and plus a history of the Babes and the way that they went into Europe in the 50s, when the Football Association didn't want Manchester United to play European football. So I'm going to walk into the ground now, and I'm looking forward to the game. Manchester United against Arsenal. It was 8-2 last year. Why wouldn't you look forward to it? Fingers crossed. I'm confident, actually. I've got confidence in the current side, and I think that United will win today. But you never know. That's why we love football. 10 minutes to kick off, and Bittersweet Symphony by The Verve is playing inside a fast-filling up Old Trafford. The tunes have been brilliant pre-match. Some of the best Manchester music, featuring Joy Division, The Stone Roses, and Take That. The Arsenal fans in the corner, 3,000 of them, are singing songs about Robin Van Persie. They're saying he's a hunter? I don't know. Something like that. I can't hear very clearly because of the Verve pounding out. What a tune this is, though, from the summer of 97. And it's good that United have got their act together. In terms of the music played before the game, because it used to be a cheese fest. But oh no, as I say that, the volume goes down. What's happening? I've no idea. The Arsenal fans are singing, and they're making it clear that they don't like Robin Van Persie. Oh, Joy Division's coming on. How's that? Game's just finished, and United won 2-1 against a very poor Arsenal side. Van Persie put United ahead after 2 minutes, and United never really looked back because they didn't need to. The Arsenal fans are singing, "Your support is shit, and we'll race you back to London." Now, the last one is clearly nonsense, but for large parts of the game, Arsenal fans outsang United fans. It's weird because go from Chelsea on Wednesday when there were 6,000 United fans, brilliant atmosphere, loads of noise. You come to Old Trafford and 3,000 away fans outsing the home fans. Now, away fans are always louder. It's exactly the same when Manchester United go away from home. But something really does need to be done about Old Trafford. Because there's still a lot of people who do want to make noise. A lot of people have stopped going to matches for various reasons, from the Glazers to the cost of tickets. But there are still thousands of United fans who'd like to stand together, sit together and make a noise. And when you see it like it was today, with 3,000 away fans making a racket and out-singing United fans, it's a bit embarrassing. Good win for United, though. Another good win for United. It's looking quite good on the pitch. It's 3 days later, and I'm in northern Portugal, in Braga, the third biggest city in Portugal, after Lisbon and Porto. Manchester United are playing Braga for the first time, playing in the Champions League, although it's not Braga's first appearance in the Champions League. And I'm in one of the most incredible stadiums I've ever visited. It's got two 15,000 seater stands on either side, and yet behind each goal, well, there's a forest behind one goal and a rock face behind the other. There's 1,700 United fans here. They've had a decent time. Weather's not very good. It's been cold, it's raining, and at the moment the game's not very good either. It's 35 minutes gone. United need to avoid defeat, really, to be almost certain of qualifying for the group knockout stages of the Champions League this season. I'll be back at the end of the game, as it is at the moment. There's two groups of Braga fans bouncing up and down, singing Braga, Braga, Braga. And that's about the most exciting thing that's going on at the moment. The game's just finished in Braga. The rain's still pouring down, but what an end to the match. United didn't play well at all. The game was terrible. Came alive in the 48th minute when Braga scored a penalty through the captain, a man by the name of Alan. And that's it, Alan. United failed to respond initially, but the floodlights did. Well, they switched off for 10 minutes, and United improved afterwards from Percy, Rooney and Hernandez all scoring in the last 10 minutes to give United a 3-1 scoreline with 12 points from 12 in qualification to the knockout stages. It's a scoreline which flattered United, really. United were far stronger in the last 15 minutes, but Braga will feel very hard done to. Still, you can't fault United's finishing, and three goals from three different strikers is always encouraging. Rooney's was a penalty, mind you. He's been missing too many penalties for United, so it was good to see him smash his one into the Braga goal. I'm going to go into the city of Braga tonight. It's the third biggest in Portugal. I don't think it's quite Manhattan on a Wednesday night in November, but there's plenty of United fans staying over. Most, though, are going back to Manchester. The team are going back on the day after the game. That's new for this season, and that's because Sir Alex Ferguson felt that United weren't getting anything out of the training session a day before the match in the host team stadium, and that pitches have all become the same now. They're not unpredictable like they maybe were 20 years ago. So now United fly out later on the day before the game, and they stay two nights in a hotel, so the players get a full night's sleep before heading back to Manchester the day after the match, rather than arriving back in the early hours of the morning. I'm going to go and see the press conference, and then I'm going to walk down a mountain back to a car and drive back into the centre of Braga. Down in the mix zone, and we're going to speak to a couple of players. First up here will be Chris Smalling, and secondly David De Gea will speak in Spanish for just 1 minute.
On paper it looks comfortable 3-1, but it wasn't tonight, was it?
No, it wasn't. I mean, until I think the first 60 minutes wasn't really how we played. I mean, we had a lot of the ball, but we did a particular little introduction of putting another striker up there, and we started to really create some more chances.
Did the floodlight failure in a way help you? Were you able to reorganise?
Yeah, I think it did in a way, and especially after the goal as well. I mean, we knew we really had to pick ourselves up, and really, because we had a lot of the ball, we wasn't really getting anywhere, but it really helped us.
What about the impact of Van Persie? Not just in this game, but since he's come to the club.
No, I mean, he's one person who just needs one chance, and I mean, it was crucial, and he's told that all through the season so far, and I'm going to continue.
And Wayne obviously missed the penalty at the weekend. Yeah. Was there any doubt it was going to be him to take it tonight?
No, I think he's one who definitely wants to put himself back in the firing line. I think he's shown tonight that he's got the courage and never after doubt, really.
And I suppose you can ask for them four games, four wins through to the knockout stage as group winners already.
Yeah, I mean, it's a massive improvement on last year. We knew it wasn't good enough, and to be able to qualify with two games to go, I mean, it really gives the manager a chance to play up there, to keep it fresh for always going to be a long, very long season.
And it looks like you fit an important time, so many games in November and December coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at this period, October, yeah. November, to be able to come back and really make an impact, and with two games a week, it really gives me a chance to be able to get some games.
¿Qué tal el partido esta noche?
Muy bien, creo que es una victoria muy importante. Hemos cerrado la clasificación en un campo muy, muy complicado y bueno, pues a seguir en la Premier, a seguir en la Champions.
¿Y difícil con la lluvia? ¿O es normal
sí,
para los ingleses?
Difícil, ¿no? Pero ya no, es difícil para los dos equipos, ¿no? Ha llovido mucho, pero el campo ha aguantado bien, se podía jugar bastante bien y yo creo que ha sido un partido bonito.
¿Y para esta temporada en la Liga de Campeones tienes optimismo con el Manchester para ganar?
Sí, yo creo que sí, no solo en Champions, en Liga, yo creo que tenemos un gran equipo, tenemos mucho fondo de armario, hay muchos jugadores muy buenos y bueno, pues esperemos llegar lo más lejos posible.
¿Ya has jugado bien? ¿Estás feliz con todo?
Sí.
¿Tu vida en Manchester?
Muy feliz. Está todo saliendo bien y estoy jugando, que es lo importante, y bueno, el equipo va bien, hay salud, ¿no?, que es lo importante, y muy feliz.
¿Y Atlético? ¿Muy bien?
Sí, bien, muy bien, muy bien, y bueno, esperemos que sigan así, que estén ahí arriba, intenten pelear la Liga al Barça del Madrid, y bueno, yo creo que este año están haciendo muy bien.
Muy bien, suerte para...
Muchas gracias.
So for the non-Spanish speaking among you, De Gea said it's a very good victory for us, important victory, means that we've classified in a difficult stadium, but we're doing well in both the league and in the Champions League. It was difficult in the rain, it rained a lot, but it was obviously the same for both teams. He talked about this season and said he's optimistic and we've got a good team, very happy. I'm happy, living in Manchester, happy that I'm playing and that's important, and the team are playing well, all is good. And then just at the end, he spoke about Atletico Madrid, his former team, who've done really well so far in the Spanish league. And they only lost for the first time last weekend. And he said it's good to see them challenging Barcelona and Real Madrid.
It's a few hours after the game in Braga. And I've come to one of the few bars which are open in the city. It's not the most lively city in the world, but the United fans who've stayed in the city have managed to find a bar. And I'm looking around now, and it's absolutely buzzing with people you've seen home and away. I was going to say lads then, but there's some girls who watch United home and away as well. Pat Houston, what's the trip been like?
Yeah, very good, very good. Yeah, nice place, good people, friendly.
How did you get here?
Flew via Madrid.
Manchester, Madrid.
Liverpool, Madrid. Madrid, Porto.
And how are you getting back?
Vigo to Barcelona, Barcelona to Liverpool.
How are you going to get from Braga to Vigo?
We'll worry about that one in the morning.
How on earth have you decided to go from Vigo?
Not quite sure how it come about. One of them spur of the moments, just above Braga. So I thought I'd give it a try for the have a look around Vigo tomorrow.
By yourself?
Yeah, by myself. Yeah.
You've done hundreds of loads and loads of European away trips.
Yeah, done plenty.
Stand out as being the most memorable.
That's like looking for needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
Impossible question to answer.
So many good ones.
Yeah, loads.
Any bad ones?
None that really spring to mind. Some average ones, but nothing that you can ever say is bad.
Describe where we are now.
Cheers. In a bar surrounded by proper match-going Reds. Have a nice little...
And this is what it's about, innit?
That's what it's all about, innit? We end up getting... We brought the result round tonight. So, yeah, we're all happy, but even if they haven't done, just have a good beer and have a good laugh, really.
Result without playing well until the last 15 minutes.
Absolutely, absolutely. We weren't out of the races at all. I think the introduction of Van Persie just and the goal spoke for itself. Yeah. It seems to touch a class. We shifted Valencia up to where he was and put a full-back, playing full-back, and we got our proper shape to the team and we went on forwards.
Can United win it this year?
Be difficult. There's no reason why not, but it'll be difficult.
Which other teams do you rate?
Dortmund are looking good. Madrid are always a threat. Barcelona are always a threat. You're always going to get a shot come from somewhere. I mean, your Russian teams, Ukrainian teams are coming more to the fore nowadays.
So, you go to virtually every European away game?
Anyway, as much as I can do, yes. Obviously, there's odd ones you can't make to work commitments.
In a typical season, if United played 8 European away games or 7, you go to all but 1 or 2 of them?
Yeah, yeah.
You've got an understanding boss?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
Partner?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you need 12.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you've got them?
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's no problems there, so yeah.
You live in Newton Heath Park, big United area.
Yeah.
What pub do you drink in?
Drinking the Railway, it's on Clayton Bridge.
And that's a big United pub, right?
Yeah, yeah, big United pub. I'm full of blues in, but 90% United.
So if you went in the Railway in Clayton Bridge, how would you know it was United? What, pictures on the wall?
If you go in the vault, it's painted red, white and black. Give it to me. And there's all United pictures on the wall.
Glad to go to match.
Yo, yeah, yeah, there's a lot of match going Reds. Minibus goes to home games, every home game from there.
Former players?
You get the odd one or two knocking about.
Mentioning no names?
No comment.
But just type into Google, Manchester United players born in Newton Heath.
That's the one. Walworth's name might pop up.
Is he a good lad, Ronnie?
Yeah, he's alright, yeah, he's sound, yeah.
It's now the day after the game. United are through, 12 points. Means the last two games are almost meaningless, so Sir Alex Ferguson will probably try a few new players out. Galatasaray away is far from meaningless, though, because they will likely need to win to qualify. So the atmosphere will be brilliant there in their new 52,000-seater stadium. I'm going to go to Porto Airport now. It's still raining. It's been a very different trip. Decent, terrible weather. Not the best of weather, but then what you expect in November. And we'll be back with a more conventional podcast next week with a guest, like we've done before. We've done these two fan-based ones. We're working on the next United We Stand, which comes out against QPR in a few weeks. Don't forget that you can download the United We Stand app through iTunes now, and lots of you have done that. Until next week, goodbye.